They're probably harder to reach people, to be honest with you. People think they have everything. So I want you to see a couple of things. They heard Jesus, right? They had a heart for souls. They heard Jesus. They were obedient to Jesus. And it was his authority, and it was because of who he was that they had authority over the enemy and divine protection, right? And then they got a little puffed up about demons having to bow to them. And Jesus brought them back down to the reality of that is not what this is about. This is about you belong to God. You belong to God. You are in his family. You have found your Savior. Amen? Okay. So after I looked at that, I love Colossians. I think of all the New Testament beside the Gospel, Colossians is my favorite book of the New Testament. Probably outside of the Gospels, the book of John, Colossians is probably my favorite book in the Bible. And Colossians is kind of a deeper revelation of Jesus and the Father, and it takes it out of the name it, claim it, declare it, swear it realm, and into relationship realm. Does everybody understand when you have that, when you take on the mentality that if I just say this, do you understand that's works? Do you understand that's eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's not relationship based, okay? And I know we can go to the Christian bookstore or go online and you're going to find more teaching on that than you're going to find about going deeper into God and into his kingdom. Amen? Has anybody found out that mentality of if I say it, it has to happen, doesn't work? Am I the only one who has found out that? Does anybody know that God will bless it for a season as you're growing and maturing? But eventually it doesn't work because it's not about you and it's not about what you do. It's about God and it's about you knowing him and being hidden in him. This is about dying to self and having a relationship with God. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that better than being about what you do? Come on, a relationship with God. But if the enemy can keep us focused on what we need and what we don't have and keep us focused on the promises of God instead of on God, then he has a way to keep causing us to become disappointed, even bitter, even doubting. Amen? So one of the places to start to really get out of pretended faith and into something real with God is to just repent. Repent of thinking that this whole idea, even though it's taught and many, many teachers teach it and you'll hear it a lot, but this idea, it's a very immature revelation of our relationship with God that he's just going to take care of us. And our concept of taking care of us has given us the American dream. I mean, has anybody ever gone to look at how they lived in the wilderness when they were traveling around for those 40 years? They lived in tents and they had the same shoes, one pair. How sad is that? And same clothes. It's horrible what those people went through. Yeah, and they had to eat the same food. And then when they complained about the same food, God sent them the other kind of food. And not God didn't have dinner, but, oh, you want that? Okay. And then they ate so much, they all got sick. So God was teaching them, I'll take care of your needs. I'll take care of your needs. You know, I feel like the faith message and the faith movement, which is of God, is a God to help us to know God will take care of our needs. God will take care of our needs. God wants us to have food. He wants us to be taken care of. He wants us to do those things that he'll lead us to do to be able to do that. Okay? So God does want us, he does want us to know that. I believe that movement is powerful because it's believing God's word. I'm going to believe his word, especially in the area of healing. Do you know the church didn't know that God wants us healed? I mean, the doctrine before God restored the message of his promises, the doctrine before that said everything is God's will and we're suffering for God. And if you die for God, you know, of sickness. And so people couldn't, how can you fight the good fight of faith if you don't know what you're fighting for? But if you're fighting the good fight of faith and you don't get your promise, then you can't change it and all of a sudden acting like it was God's will because then you sound like a schizophrenic, double-minded Christian. Amen? Does anybody know that if there's a battle and a fight, then there is a possibility you won't win? It's true. Okay, it's true. And we don't like that as Christians because we want to know that we know that we know that we're okay, because many people got saved to feel for security than because of relationship with God. Okay, so one of the first things to do is to recognize this salvation is not about me having a great life on this planet. I mean, there are Christians in very, very poor nations who daily barely get by. Okay? So salvation wasn't about what we call the American dream of having a big house and cars and cell phones and computers and lots of food and get to go out to eat once a week or more. Okay? And that's a nation that's been blessed, and we're not going to get into all that. But do you understand what I'm saying? God will take care of your needs. He showed that. He'll take care of your basic needs. But our salvation is about having a relationship with a God that's eternal. And the enemy wants you so focused on your needs and your promises that when they don't come to pass the way you want them to come to pass, you walk away from God. Because then the enemy really has a way to come in and destroy you. You've got to get your focus so much higher. My focus is this. I want to know this God who died for me, and I want to have a relationship with God because he made a way for me to have one. And in eternity, without question, I will have whatever great things my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus want to give me. And I guarantee you it's going to make everything on earth look small. So I don't have to envy the people in Hollywood who have big homes. I don't have to envy someone who has a swimming pool. I don't have to envy someone who has a sports car. I don't have to envy anyone, because I have this knowing in my heart that, number one, as I mature in God, none of those things matter, except that he just takes care of, you know, the basic needs he promises. But also that in heaven, which is going to be eternity forever and ever and ever and ever, I'm going to be extremely well taken care of. So if you have to hold on to not give in to the enemy and do what he wants to your dying breath, then do it. Because if God really lives inside of you, you're going to spend eternity in a beauty and riches beyond anything you can imagine. The Bible says streets of pure, pure gold. So what we call tar, they use gold for. Some places don't even have tar. They have gravel or just dirt. God has pure, pure gold. I can't even, you know, especially this time of year when you get up and if you're at the beach or even, you know, a park or something, you see the beautiful trees. This time of year, it's just especially I live in Williamsburg, just the beautiful trees when I drive home. And you just sit there and go, wow, this is so beautiful. This is just so beautiful. We're just going to be sitting there like in shock, probably in heaven for the first maybe 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years. Going, our brains are going to, I can't even get the idea of this color. I can't even get, if this is God's like, oh, let me just bless these guys. Let me have a creative art day and make earth. I'll take a week to have a creative art week and I'll make the earth. And for these little people made in my image and my likeness, this is just going to be a fun part of what I'm doing and who I am. What an awesome God. He's so much bigger than us. Get rid of the thinking that we are him, and get rid of the thinking that we are even that close to like him. I mean, he knows every single piece of sand. And there's quite a few of them in my car, and they've been taken from different places, but he knows where they're at. He knows every hair on every head and all the ones that fell off. He knows the ones that are in each brush and comb. And if he keeps up with my dog, Samson, he really is amazing. Think about a minute. Well, we all act like we're him. I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad that he's so much bigger than me. I'm glad that he's so much greater than me. I'm glad that his ability to take care of me is so much greater than my ability to take care of me. And his ability to put me in the lifestyle that he has for me is so much greater than my ability to put myself in that lifestyle. We have to quit being like the world, amen, and realize who we are. If you get nothing else but born again of the Spirit of God, you have the greatest treasure that all the angels are amazed that God himself would live inside of you. Don't ever think that God living inside of you isn't greater than being a multi-millionaire. Make sure God lives inside of you, though. Make sure you didn't just hear about it and get a hidden knowledge of it. Make sure that there is a true Holy Spirit living inside of your spirit man. And ask the Lord to forgive you if that wasn't your focus on your salvation. Amen? God would live inside of us to reveal Jesus to us, to make us holy. He didn't come to live inside of us to be Santa Claus. Okay? So we need to be founded on a firm foundation. Paul says, receive no other gospel but this gospel. You need to really take some time and really seriously, don't read all the other stuff for a while and read this first. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the New Testament and see what it really was like to be a Christian, because America may live this. Are you ready? See, if you know, I'm on this, it's called like a two-day diet thing. It's like a lifestyle thing, but you eat 500 or 600, maybe 800, because I don't count real good, calories 2 days a week. And then the rest 5 days, you can eat all you want. And it really works. I've lost like 3-4 pounds. Because there's something in us that kind of says, as long as I can have it later, I can put up with this today. Right? It's when you think, I can never eat nothing but a carrot and boiled chicken again for the rest of my life. And then if all I eat is carrots and boiled chicken and a celery or something, your metabolism says, oh, you don't need me working so hard. So then you got to decrease how much of the chicken in your diet. You know, and pretty soon it's just, you can't beat the system, because God didn't put you in a system where you're supposed to deprive yourself. Whoa. I always wondered why that didn't work. God didn't make it so you can deprive yourself and somehow that be a success in your life. Ooh, preach that one. We need t-shirts. I don't have a God who's trying to deprive me, but I have a God who has set things up so that if I can live in moderation and I can even live in fasting, if I know that this awesome God is a provider, if I know this awesome God is a one who blesses, who sends forth blessings. So I can deprive myself for 2 days to keep my metabolism strong and as a fasting, and then I can eat what I want and it still works as your metabolism stays strong. It's really awesome. It's the first thing that's ever really worked for me that I know I can do for the rest of my life. Well, see, that's how as a believer, I don't get envious of the houses, the gigantic houses. I watch HGTV. I mean, some of those people's swimming pool would buy every single house here. You know, I mean, you could feed a nation on what they use, but that's between them and God. God has enough. I don't have to be sitting there envious of what they have or judging what they have. But I can actually sit there and enjoy that somebody could think of all that, because I don't have envy in me. Because I know when I get to heaven, it's going to be so fantastic. And I just want to go to heaven to be with Jesus. If being with Jesus means I get to live in a shack in heaven, I would choose a shack with Jesus over a mansion without him. Amen? But God's not an either or kind of God. God is a God that says, choose me and it all comes with me. See, God is what we choose, not his benefits. But when you focus on God's benefits, you're really not in the kingdom. You're really eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and trying to get God to do what you want God to do. And then you're going to find out that it is not working. There's going to be a lot of frustration. There's going to be a lot of disappointment. And because your focus is wrong, you're not kingdom focused. Amen? So really, and come on, you guys, between all the teaching that's out there and all the stuff we hear and man's opinions, and scripture, personally, And I'm thankful for everything the Holy Spirit's doing, okay? I am thankful for everything he's doing because I see God used the faith message powerfully in my life. If it wasn't for that message, I wouldn't have known that my son was to live and not die. My son, I would have not known how to fight. I would not known how to believe. I would have not known how to believe and stand on God's word to get the finances to pay for this building, right? So God is in that message. Amen. It's his word. But we all see in part. The Bible says we all see in part. So as believers, we need to see what their part is and grab it, and then see what somebody else's part is and grab it, and see what God made it that way. God made it that no one man can take the place of God's gifting to his body. Amen? So we need to see it, not be envious, but see, I'm excited. I'm excited that some of the people at BFA are getting ready to go downtown and really start an inner healing kind of ministry. I'm not envious of that. I'm not jealous of that. I'm not trying to control that. I'm not even trying to even get close to controlling it. I'm just like, yay, thank you, God. Send somebody else down there. Because that's not my calling. But my calling is to make laborers. So if laborers start coming up and wanting to go do something, I'm not going to control it, put my name on it, try to get 10% of it. Because it's not mine to do that. Amen? That's not what God's called me to do. I'm just to mature and help people mature and grow and fall in love with God and move in his gifts and do what he's called them to do and get in the kingdom and get them free from pretended faith. And the Bible says there's pretended brotherly love. Boy, is there a lot of that going around. Get people free from the pretense so they can enter into the kingdom and walk in the real and find something real for their lives. And then Jesus is all that matters, but then you're going to find out he is the provider. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He really does give you authority because of your relationship with him over everything evil. And then if he wants you to go to prison and he wants you to die for him, like Stephen did in the Bible, then you're cool with it. Paul won't crying out trying to stop it. Paul was like, hey, I get the victory. I get the martyr's crown. I get this awesome crown. But what is he doing? Paul, right before he dies, he's getting his letters. He's talking to everybody. He's making sure everything's cool. You guys carry on. I know it's my time. God has shown me. I'm going to have one big say before the king and whatever. And then it's over for me, which is the beginning for me. Paul says to live is... for me to die is gain. See, he became so kingdom-minded because he was just so sold out on doing what God wanted him to do. Not as works, but compelled by the Holy Spirit. Wow. I want to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. When I go to the Philippines and we'll be going this fall, I want to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. I want to be where I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I'm not trying to get a name for myself. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just compelled by the Holy Spirit. See, if I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit and he's in charge and he puts it in my heart to go and he gives me a heart to preach and he gives me a heart to minister and he gives me a heart to make laborers in the Philippines. Amen. And I'm compelled to do it. Don't you think he's going to take care of me? But if I'm thinking of doing it because such and such did it, and wouldn't it be good to do, and that would look really nice, and wouldn't it be nice to have an extra little vacation in there, and blah, 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 and I get all worldly about why I'm doing it, and I'm not hearing from God, getting instruction from God, being led by the Spirit of God, I really could put myself in danger. Are y'all getting this? See, we've got the whole mindset has to not be about us, but about him and his kingdom and bringing souls into his kingdom. And then he does take care of us. Or let me say this. He doesn't take from us unless we give it to him. What our education, our skill level, our talents, and the nation we live in would provide for us. So you don't understand, in America, our people in poverty in America would be upper middle class in most nations. If you have a cell phone, you're rich in most nations. You won't have a cell phone unless you're pretty wealthy. You won't have access to food. You won't have a place where you can even put up a tent. So we look at everything based on our culture instead of based on God really taking care of things and trusting him with that. So he doesn't remove us from our culture. But his kingdom comes inside of us. And then we see things different. You look at Paul. I don't see Paul. I can't see Paul having a big fancy house. I don't see Paul, you know, trying to use the things of God to live like the kings or the rulers, right? You don't see, they gave up a lot. They gave up all of that. When they came into the kingdom, they purposely gave up. Now, if you're in some nations, if you're in a Muslim nation and you come into the kingdom of God, you purposely give up what your culture would give you. But God's worth it. Now, if you're here, at least up to this time, this could be different by the time somebody's hearing this teaching. But as of now, in America, we're able to keep what we get in our culture, as long as it's not sinful and God requires it of us, because we don't want it. Amen? We're allowed to keep what we get in our culture based on the way it works in our culture. This is good preaching. Because we have so many people who don't, and this isn't about, we don't compare ourselves one to another. We just have to seek the Lord and say, okay, Lord, in my culture, if I need to, my needs need to be met, help me. I said, but I've tried. No, if you get bitterness and stuff, then that bitterness will stop you from getting a job. If you need some deliverance, you need to get deliverance. People might be scared to give you a job if you need deliverance. If you got some strange look in your eye and this and that, and you got some attitude problem, and that door closes, well, they just close the door because I'm a woman. No, they probably close the door because you got some crazy woman look in your eyes, like you're going to come in there and rule the place.